Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Matthew chapter 4, I'm so excited. I told Mandy just a few moments before we came out, I said, I'm going to preach you happy today, or I'm going to preach the conviction of God over you. And she said, okay, to both of them. That's the kind of woman that she is. So something good's going to happen today. I don't know if you're going to get happy or get convicted, but the end of conviction is joy. Praise God. It is good. But we're talking about temptation and overcoming the devil's lies. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is our second message. We'll have one more next week on temptation, overcoming the devil's lies. You may be seated. Everybody on the face of this earth that has ever lived will be tempted. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we are tempted every single day of our life. How we respond to the temptation of the adversary, it dictates how much victory we're going to have. How soon we will step into that full victory, or whether or not we ever get to celebrate victory at all. The reason that I can stand here and tell you that everybody that walks the face of the earth will be tempted is very simple. Adam and Eve were in a perfect place called paradise, and they were tempted. Jesus Christ himself, in the book of Matthew that we just read, was tempted. So if you can be tempted in paradise on this earth, and if you can be Jesus Christ and be tempted on this earth, I think it's safe to say that everybody in this room, everybody watching online, and everybody that will ever listen to the archive of this message, we have to understand that the devil's after us to tempt us. The devil tempts and God tests. We've said that. Bishop and I have preached that for decades here at Living Way. The devil tempts you to stop you, to thwart God's will in your life. God tests you to promote you. God tests you on material. He tests us on material that we should know. That's why it's important that you get in the Word of God Monday through Sunday, not just Sunday and Wednesday and every now and then. The devil tempts you, and he tempts you on the same thing, information that you should know, but he hopes that you do not know, hopes that you don't realize the power of it, hopes that you have forgotten where you were at in the place and the time when God gave you that word. And so last session we talked that temptation is designed to keep us from, to stagnate, to drag us back, and to take us places we were never meant to go. Through temptation, Satan will take you farther than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. Temptation might look good, and it might look easy, and it might look like a quick fix in and out, but when you give the devil an inch, he takes not 1 mile, he'll take 100 miles. That's why the Bible would say, give no place to the devil. Don't give one place, because one place will turn into two places, and two to four, and four to eight. When the devil wants what you have, he attacks you. But when the devil wants you out of the will of God, he tempts you. We ended last session talking about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, that we always read verse 16, and I know that in Western church, we love to talk about all the blessings and favor of God. And I'll be the first to tell you that God wants to bless you, that God does not want you to live in lack, that God doesn't want you rushing from your job on Friday to cover bills that you wrote on Tuesday when you get your paycheck. I am the first to tell you that God doesn't want you to have to walk to work, walk to church, walk to school. I am here to tell you that God doesn't want you wearing rags. I am here to tell you that God doesn't want you to live a minimum wage job for the rest of your life, but that God has a lot of great things for you. However, in the context of this verse that we love to talk, that I can go to God freely, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but at all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. I've got great news for you. Jesus faced every temptation known to man. If you've ever been tempted with it, Jesus was tempted with it first. Jesus overcame every temptation. He didn't falter. He didn't fail. He didn't sin. Why? Because he was going to the cross, and he had to go to the cross as a perfect sacrifice so that you and I could stand in October of 2020 and believe in Jesus for salvation, but also believe in Jesus for abundant life. And I thought I'd get a lot better amen last 30 seconds than that. Aren't you glad that God has already gone down the road that he's asking you to travel? Aren't you glad that God has already defeated the foe that he asked you to step in the ring with? Verse 16 of Hebrews 4 says, "Let us therefore come boldly," there it is, "under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And a lot of times I've heard this preached that God will give us anything and we can boldly approach God and we've been given access. And I believe that, but let me tell you the context of the Hebrews writer and what he was saying is when I am tempted, rather than face temptation by myself, rather than face temptation with my prayer partner or my praise buddy, he said, I've got an ability and an access to go to God, the one who was tempted already like I was. And when I go to God, he's going to tell me what I need to do to stand firm in the face of every temptation that will ever come my way. Can I encourage you? Don't call a 1-900 number. Don't call the church first. The first thing you need to do when temptation is at your front door is you need to boldly go to God. You need to tell the devil, you shouldn't have come here, because every time you come here, I'm going there. And when I get my access to God, when I come back, I'm going to have an answer. I'm going to have the word of God. I'm going to have authority. I'm going to have the authority that was given to me by the access of a God that has already beat the game and is now giving me the cheat code. The Bible is a book of cheat codes to get you past the boss of every level. I've never been more mad at my son's education when he was in private school, when he would come and tell me that he scored a 62 or a 58 on an open book test. Open book test says one thing about the test taker. If they fail, they're lazy. They didn't want to look for the right answer, and so they just put down a answer. They didn't want to look and take the time to make sure that it was right. They put down an answer that they hoped was right. Can I tell you, church, your life is way too valuable for you to be making moves that you hope are right. Let me tell you something. The destiny that God has placed on you and the purpose that God has placed in you is far too valuable for you, your marriage, your family, and your community for you to hope that you're getting it right. Can I holler at the singles for a minute? Can I encourage you? You better make sure that he is the right one or she is the right one, and not, well, I hope that they're the right one. No, we're not hoping anything. We're faith in everything. And faith takes me to his presence, and his presence gives me the answer to stand in the face of temptation and say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not going down that road with you. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer, and I'm never below again. I'm not giving in to temptation. I love Genesis chapter 3 when we compare it to Matthew chapter 4. The two temptations at the beginning of time and at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, they hold a lot of similarities, except Adam and Eve reacted and responded to temptation and dealt with temptation in a totally different manner than when Jesus responded to temptation. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Adam and Eve, when they gave in to temptation, it evicted them out of paradise. When Jesus withstood temptation, it evicted the enemy from his presence. So when I stand against temptation, the devil cannot stay. When I give in to temptation, I cannot stay in God's paradise, in God's plan, in God's will, in God's presence, and I have to leave. I'm talking to somebody today. It's worth the drive just for you to know this today. It's worth it just for you to tune, for you to understand this, that every time I tell the devil no, what I'm telling him is, I'm not going to do that and you can't stay. But every time I tell the devil yes, what is happening to me is I'm being evicted out of the perfect will of God. God. If you're feeling like you're far from God today, if you're feeling like you're messed up and you're out of the will today, let me tell you something. It's because you didn't put the devil in his place and say no to temptation and stand on the word of God. But I've got good news for you. Jesus has made a way of escape. Jesus has made a way for your setback to become your comeback. And you might have missed out on a couple months, a couple years, or maybe your detour has cost you a couple decades. But the word of God says in Joel chapter 2 that my God will restore the years that the cankerworm, palmer worm, and locust have eaten. But I'm here to tell you, do not waste any time. Don't let it cost you your relationships. Don't let it cost you your children. Stand in the face of temptation and say, nope, if I've got to choose me or you, you've got to go, and I'm staying right where God has called me to be. I'm either evicting you, and I'm not letting you evict me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That word subtle there defined means cunning. It means wily. It means crafty. But I want to get to these last two definitions. Subtle means requiring mental acuteness. But the last one is the best. Requiring discernment. See, the world thinks that discernment can just happen. They believe in things like karma, and they believe in New Age philosophy. But I believe in this very simply, that discernment, true discernment, can only happen and be birthed in people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's not a mother's intuition, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be able to help you identify the tempter and temptation. One of the reasons why Eve is messed up in this process is because the devil didn't show up like the devil. The devil didn't show up with horns, wearing a red jumpsuit, with a pitchfork and a long tail. The devil showed up into something that she had seen every day of her life. The snake didn't just slither in. He possessed the snake. He took the form of the snake, and it's something maybe that Adam had held because Adam had dominion over all of the animals. He's the one that called the snake a snake. They had fed that snake. Maybe it was a pet snake. And even if they hadn't fed it or was a pet, they had seen it slithering since the beginning of time. It's in the garden, but she doesn't understand that just because she's seen that before, that the enemy will use things that are already in our lives, and it doesn't always have to come from the outside in, but sometimes that's why you got to understand and pray over your friends and your squad every day and every week, because guess what? God never changes, but people do. God never changes, but people do. True colors come out. And even if it's not true colors, even well-meaning, people can become misguided and say things and do things. And sometimes the devil will use the most crazy, crazy thing to come at you. People that you have relationship, people that have never hurt you. And here he is, and he's subtle, and he's crafty. And the only way that you're going to be able to tell that it's temptation sometimes is because you are full of the Holy Ghost. How many times has the Holy Ghost shut your mouth and just said, don't go there, don't say it? How many times have you typed out your response on social media and the Holy Ghost said, don't send that? That's going to cause a firestorm. I tell you, one of the best ways for you to vent is to text out your response and erase it. Type out your response and erase it. And so the subtle beast comes in, and he's crafty, and it takes discernment. And the discernment happens, or the discernment is needed for when temptation happens, because temptation is never going to look like a bad option. Temptation is always a trap. And if you've heard me preach long enough, you've heard me use this phrase over and over. A trap doesn't look like a trap. If a trap looked like a trap, it wouldn't be a trap. A trap is supposed to look okay. a trap is supposed to be all good. And so you might be having a conversation with her or a conversation with him, and it's all good. And man, they're not vile. They're not profane. They're not dropping F-bombs. They're not using God's name in vain. It's all good. And little did you know that that conversation is about to start something in your life. It's an unraveling of God's will for your life, all because that discerning spirit in you, you quench that spirit. That's why the Bible would encourage us to quench not the spirit, quench not the power, quench not the guide, quench not the discernment that God needs us to use in everyday life. I was invited somewhere a couple weeks ago with some high school friends, and I just declined that offer right off the bat. And if high school friends are watching, I'm sorry. This is the real reason I couldn't come. Because I knew they were going to be drinking. I knew that a lot of them were fresh out of relationships, and a couple of them had been through fresh divorces, and I knew they were going to be running down their ex-wife or perhaps running down their wives. I knew they were going to be talking about things that I don't want to hear, let alone talk about, or talk about, let alone hear. And so I just declined, and I said, I'm busy. And I am busy. That wasn't a lie. I'm too busy to mess with knuckleheads. I'm too busy to be tempted to start talking like them. I'm too busy to sit with people that are going nowhere. I'm too busy to sit with people that are not kingdom-minded and not vision-minded. I'm too busy to get down and sling mud with the other pigs and then be surprised when I get dirty. I'm too busy to talk politics. I'm too busy to do all of those things. Why? Because I'm living the life God has called me to live. And if I could be honest with you, I'm working hard to keep my marriage strong. And I'm working hard to keep my kids on the right path. I'm working hard to keep my bank account full. I'm working hard to make sure that kingdom advances. I'm making sure that this ministry does not fail, but it flourishes. I'm too busy to mess with temptation, but sometimes temptation doesn't come from the outside in. Sometimes it's already there, and I've got to be able to look within my spirit and say, nope, I don't got time to mess with you today. I don't got time to mess with you today. Temptation is a trap. The devil tempts us by twisting and manipulating God's word. Don't ever let the enemy put a question mark where God has put a period. God had already had this conversation with Adam and Eve. And he says, there's one tree that you cannot touch. You can look at it, but you can't touch it. You can't eat of it. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is something that is going to, and I love this because even in paradise, God gives boundaries. The older I get, that was a good place to say amen. Maybe you're just writing down and taking that note. But the older I get, the more I appreciate boundaries. And the more I appreciate that I can't do everything I want to do, and I should not do everything that I can do. And I understand that if God gives me boundaries, that there is a blessing within that boundary. And the blessing within this boundary is, as long as you don't touch or eat of that tree, you get to stay in paradise. You get to stay in an uninterrupted presence in my life. But the moment you touch it and the moment you eat of it, your eyes are going to open and your life is never going to be the same again. And so here comes the subtle serpent. It's a serpent that Eve had seen many times before. But now the serpent's talking. And this is what the serpent says. It says, hath God said, same word, but he switches them around from God hath said to hath God said. That's why it's important that you understand punctuation. That's why it's important that we understand where God puts a comma. It means there's going to be a continuation. When the devil comes in like a flood, comma, but God will raise up a standard. Because without the standard, that's a pretty daunting verse. But when you understand that there's a comma there and God's not through speaking, then we get excited because every time a flood shows up, I'm not looking for the flood. I'm looking for the standard because of what God showed me. And so when God speaks to Adam and Eve, he speaks very plainly and he says, this is what I'm telling you. But when the devil comes to tempt him, he's taking the same word of God and he's mixing it up. And he says, hath God said, question mark. Whenever someone gives into temptation, it is not because they didn't believe God's word. It's because they believe Satan's word more than God's word. If they did not believe Satan's word more than God's word, they would have told the devil to get behind them, to get under their feet. This is what God said. I'm not going to go down that road with you. Shut him down. Close the book and live their life. But they believe in his word for a moment at a greater rate than they believe in God's word. The more words you know, let me preface this. I went back right before church and I changed this statement. The more words you know, the less you will succumb to temptation. When I say no, I'm talking about meditation over memorization. I went to a private Christian school. Every month from the time I was in pre-K all the way to when I graduated, says Gloria, we had to memorize an entire chapter from the Bible. An entire chapter. I memorized that chapter. I had a teacher that said, if you just bring me back and say that you memorized all this and that you quoted it to Pastor Becky. And so I would go home the first week of school, I would memorize 9 chapters of the Bible. And I'm talking about saying word for word from the NIV translation. Pastor Becky would make sure, check me, check off, sign the letter, send it in. The problem is I memorized 9 chapters in 2 days. I memorized it to get it over with. Meditation over memorization. I'd rather you know what one verse means than to be able to quote an entire chapter to me. Because we got a lot of people on social media these days that can quote it all day long. And let me tell you something, never argue with someone who thinks they're a Christian that has Google as their friend, because they're going to Google you all day long. The Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says this. That's why I've got to meditate on the word, so when the devil shows up and says, did God really say that? I can say, that's not what God said. This is what God said. And when the devil realizes that you're not some punk, and that you're not some Sunday saint, and when the devil realizes that you're in that book 7 days a week, and when the devil realizes, like David, that you are hiding the word of God in your heart so that you do not sin against God, which guess what falls into sin? Some temptation falls. So when I have the word of God hidden in my heart, I'm not going to succumb to temptation. David said the word of God is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, which means when temptation shows up, the word of God says, lights it up and says, don't walk there, you're going to trip. Don't walk there, you're going to stumble. And so the next time the devil comes to you and says, hath God said, you better have a ready answer on what God said. And if you don't have an answer, you can boldly go to God and say, God, how do I deal with this situation? God to give you the word to stand on, the promises of God to put the devil in his place and to keep moving forward. Memorization does not override meditation. We meditate on the word day and night. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, you will neither touch it, you will not die. Wow. We never preach about Eve's response. Perfect. She said, no, the question mark that you placed in here, the rearranging, that's not what God said. Let me tell you what God said. We gloss over that because it's hard to preach why Eve would still fail if she knows the word of God. I'm going to tell you why she failed. I'm going to jump ahead because we're running out of time. She failed because she kept talking to the adversary. She was having a conversation with the adversary. Can I encourage you? It's a monologue with the adversary and a dialogue with God. My conversations, when the devil opens up his mouth in temptation, I begin to tell him what I think. I become to tell him what I know. I tell him what the Bible says, and I shut him down. I don't let him ask one more thing. I don't let him bring up another statement or point. This ain't a judge. He's not a jury. This ain't courtroom. This is just me and him on the front step of my house, in my bedroom, sitting in my desk, driving down the highway, and he's trying to bring all this mess in my mind. I am here to tell you, quit talking to the adversary. Quit talking with him. Quit conversing with him. Quit going back and forth. Quit debating. He's a liar. You can't believe anything he says. He's like most politicians. You can't believe them, so it's pointless for them to debate, because all they spew is lies, and all they spew is mistruths and untruths. Every time the devil opens up his mouth, he's the father of all liars. I know he's lying. There's no need for me to talk to him. All I need to do is declare the word of God. All I need to do is tell him what God said and what God did, and it shuts him down. She's talking with him. Even when I was dating Mandy, we only dated for 3 months before we got engaged, 9 months before we got married. And I remember in the old building, I just got through preaching. And she was standing here in the old building. An old boy rolled up behind her. I've been saying old boy a lot, I know. Old boy, I've been listening to a lot of country music. Y'all forgive me. Something's about to break. I feel it. Old boy walked up. And there's always one or two people like this in church that are just a little too handsy with everybody. If anything has come good out of the pandemic is the people that like to hug too long and those old boys that like to do the full frontal hugs and they're rubbing your back, they're massaging you. I'm talking about in the church. So one of those young men came up behind Mandy. Mandy and I are dating. And she has her back to me, massaging her in the altar. Not a chair massage. We ain't down here at the mall. I was standing here. She thought it was me. I just put the mic down. I got him by the back of the neck where only he could hear me. And I said, the next time you touch her, I'm going to break both of your thumbs. As God is my witness, I've been forgiven. Something broke many years ago. That was when I was this saved. I'm this saved now. That's when I was this saved. Mandy turned around, and she was shocked because she thought it was me the whole time. And he said, "But," I said, I already told you. This is your final warning. When he saw Mandy coming, he'd be like, he left. He didn't even want to be around her because of what had transpired and the conversation that he had with me. You know, the devil should react the same way when he sees you and your feet hit the ground beside your bed. He should say, oh, man. When you leave your front door, you open up your garage and pull out, the devil should say, man, I thought he was going to stay home. I tried to start this quarantine, and I tried to put him back for a few months, and then you get to your job, and you're talking about praise God. And let me tell you what I was studying. You got worship music blaring from your office, and the devil says, oh, man, he don't want to see you coming because he knows what you're all about. Can I encourage everybody in here? You need to get your declaration to God, but you need to get your declaration that when the devil shows up, I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. I am full of God's presence. I am full of the word of God. And when you talk to me, you're not going to get my opinion. I'm not going to negotiate with you. I'm not going to bargain with you. I'm going to tell you what doth saith the Lord. And when I stand on the word of God and I speak from the word of God, the devil cannot stay in my or your presence. Stand on your feet. And on your feet. A woman said the right thing, but she knew the word. She could quote the word. She didn't believe the word. She wasn't confident in the word. Don't ever let the devil continue the conversation. The moment you find out who's talking and where the conversation's headed, stop. I'm out. Walk away. If it means walking away mid-conversation with somebody at your job, it's better for you to walk away than for you to fall into temptation. It's better to walk away than to let them pull you into the valley of strife and division. It's better to walk away and maintain the will of God for your life than to start talking to the adversary in a conversational way and it continues. When we talk to the devil, it should be that monologue, the one-way conversation. When we talk to God, it should be a dialogue. However, most believers have that script flipped. Many believers, they have dialogue with the devil and a monologue with God. They don't mind going back and forth with the adversary, who's the father of all liars, and all he can do is lie. But to the God of the universe, the only time we talk to him is when we need healing. When we need the light bill paid, when we need a breakthrough. But I was telling the young people last night, the most important part of your prayer is listening to what God says back. And so I'm not making a statement to God. I'm conversing with the Savior of my soul, with the Creator of this world, with the author and finisher of my faith, the one who has beat every temptation and now sits at the right hand of the Father and says, you have access to me in your time of temptation or your time of need. That's the one I want to talk to. If I want to talk to somebody about business, I'm going to talk to Bishop. I'm going to talk to some of the great men and women entrepreneurs in this church. I'm not going to the nursery to talk to those kids about business. They don't know. You've got a God that is available to you right now. Once you said yes and you invited him into your heart, everything changed. You have full access. You are a VIP to heaven and the throne room and that throne of grace that is open to you. We're defeating temptation by the word of God, standing on that word and prophesying and declaring that word. I want to talk to somebody right now that the devil's been talking to you too much. And you've been giving him an ear in some places, or perhaps the temptations to quit, the temptations to stop. And let me tell you something, more dangerous are the temptations to quit than the temptation of a substance. You can beat the substance. Don't quit. Don't quit on God's will. Don't quit on God's gift. Don't quit on God's future. Don't quit on God's plan for your family. Don't quit on God's plan for your relationships. You're in this house today. This is your opportunity. I've got two ladies. I need a man of God that will break the ice.